Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, for months he laughed off the courthouse ghost stories. Then a voice spoke to him in an empty basement hallway, and suddenly those stories weren't so easy to ignore.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, thank you very much for listening. I would encourage you to call in a ghost story if you've got one. Number to call and leave us a voicemail is 855-853-4802. You can also write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can always become a premium subscriber anytime you like. Get advanced episodes, access to the archive, and no commercials. Sign up at Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Husing. Kathy Gordon is with me today.
I surely am.
I love these stories where it's like he's a skeptic until, oh, what was that?
Mm-hmm. Well, have you?
I didn't believe, but now
have you
I can't
ever been
it.
In a courthouse that you found really creepy?
I think
like you got a vibe off of something.
I haven't spent a lot of time in courthouses.
I know this
honest.
Is weird, but I have a couple of times. There was one in Texas that you know. It's just a beautiful courthouse, and it was in, I believe, LaGrange, Texas, which I think is Lafayette County, if I believe that's correct. If it's not, somebody's going to let me know. But there's a big sculpture of Lafayette, the French soldier, who apparently when he went on his, he did the Revolutionary War, but then he comes in afterwards and he does a big, you know, tour of the states and going around and, you know, everybody had big parades and stuff for him. Anyways, there, I had a really creepy feeling that place. And then where I used to live in Colby, Kansas, that courthouse, I worked part-time sometimes up there helping do some stuff in the Register of Deeds office. And you'd have to go put records like in the basement or get them from there. And it was creepy. It was real creepy.
I could see that. Like, I think I could see if I was in our courthouse here. Uh-huh. We have a historical courthouse, and then we have a newer one. Uh-huh. I could see the old one going
it
in
was
there
one
if
of
it was
those...
kind of empty and not like uh-huh. everybody's in court that day.
When there's all these records, and you go down there, and it's one of those places where you put something away as fast as you can, and then you run back up the stairs. You're just not comfortable being there any longer than you have to be, because you're just feeling like something's watching you or something's there. And I that one always got me.
I just know. Could see so many of those being haunted. I mean,
because me
every town has that old courthouse.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
why
I
asked.
I've done quite a few episodes of the Grave Talks where we have talked about haunted courthouses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just don't find it surprising.
Yeah.
But what I do like is when it's somebody like, yeah, 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 y'all are crazy until it happens to them.
Right.
So here's the story. And it says, for several years, I worked in law enforcement and I spent a good amount of time assigned to our county courthouse. It was one of those old buildings that had been added on to, remodeled, patched together so many times, nobody could agree on what parts were even original anymore. And if you worked there long enough, you got familiar with the areas most people never saw. The old records rooms, empty offices, storage areas, stairwells that seemed to go to nowhere, hallways that were only used by employees. Like any workplace, there were a few personalities. One of the deputies I worked with was a good guy, but he was absolutely obsessed with ghost hunting. Every old building we worked in supposedly had a story attached to it. He knew all of them. Somebody mentioned hearing footsteps after hours or seeing something strange. He was immediately interested. The rest of us gave him a hard time about it. He was constantly carrying around some new piece of equipment or talking about places he had investigated over the weekend. Most of us just nodded and went back to work. One thing he was always talking about was the courthouse. According to him, there were certain parts of the building where people regularly reported hearing footsteps or voices when nobody else was around. He was especially interested in an old records area in the basement that wasn't used much anymore. He would tell me about a recording he'd captured or a strange sound he'd heard after hours. I'd listen for about 30 seconds and then I'd change the subject. One evening, I was working late and was one of only a handful of people left in the building. Most of the offices were dark. The courts had been closed for a little bit, and the cleaning crews had already come in. Part of my shift involved checking various areas before locking things down for the night. It wasn't unusual, and I walked the same route hundreds of times. At some point, I ended up in the basement. The records section was down there, along with a few storage rooms and some offices that had not been used in years. It was quiet, but that wasn't unusual either. I remember checking a door and making a note on my clipboard, and I heard someone say, "Excuse me." Not loudly, it was just a conversational tone, so I turned around, expecting to see another employee, but no one was there. I thought maybe somebody had walked away while I was checking the door, so I looked down the hallway. I checked the nearest office. The whole area was empty. I finished what I was doing. I moved on, but what bothered me wasn't hearing the voice. What bothered me was how close it sounded. It didn't sound like it came from down the hallway. It sounded like somebody was standing a few feet away from me. The next night, I worked the same shift. I didn't tell anybody what I'd heard because I didn't think there was much to tell. A day later, I was in the break room when the deputy started talking about the courthouse again. Somebody asked him what part of the building gave him the creeps the most, and he said, "Oh, the old records section." Then he started talking about how multiple employees over the years had reported hearing voices down there. I sat there listening, not saying a word. And then I told him I had heard somebody talking in the basement a couple nights earlier. The room got very quiet. The deputy was thrilled. Everyone else immediately started throwing out explanations. Maybe it was the cleaning person. Maybe it was somebody upstairs. Maybe it echoed through a vent. The deputy asked me exactly where I'd been standing. I pointed it out later. According to him, it was the same hallway where most of the reports came from. I told him that didn't mean anything, and he agreed. Then he asked me, "What did the voice say?" When I told him it had just said, "Excuse me," he got a very strange look on his face. And apparently one of the courthouse clerks had reported hearing the exact same thing years earlier. I had never heard that story, and the deputy had never told it to me. In fact, I didn't even know that clerk had ever reported anything unusual. That was the only thing that ever happened to me in that building. I worked in that courthouse for years afterward, never heard it again. The deputy eventually transferred to another assignment. As far as I know, he's probably still out there chasing ghosts on his day off. Every now and again, somebody will bring up a weird experience they've had at work, and it reminds me of that hallway in the basement. I don't know if that was a haunting. I just know that for a few seconds, I was absolutely certain somebody was standing behind me, and when I turned around, there wasn't anyone there. End of the story. And I'm not sure who sent that in. But it is something that you can't explain. You know, it's one of those things that you're a million miles away. You're just doing a job that you've done for years. And making sure nobody stuck around after hours in the courthouse. And when you hear something like that, you turn around expecting to see somebody there.
You know, I have this theory, and it's not mine. Other people have this too, where I'm going to say that there's a collective consciousness. And if you can hit the right frequency as someone else, I think you can tap into something and it'll just come out as a bit or just a little blurb of what somebody said. And then it jolts you so much, you get off of that frequency back down into your regular normal self, because it usually happens when you're doing something super mundane and your mind is sort of wandering. It's really not paying a ton of attention. And then you hear somebody say something, and it's a weird something. Like, I always think if it says your name, that's different. But if you just catch, like, somebody said, "Excuse me," you know, or somebody said, "Where's the dog?" or something, you know, I feel like we could just kind of connect on a specific frequency that allows us into hearing other people. Maybe something that's being said, but it might be just something in somebody's head. that's one. But wait a minute. I don't think that is the case here, because there are other, you know, people saying it's happening to them. That they've had similar, they hear voices. Some, another clerk actually, I think, heard verbatim the excuse me thing.
Which that makes me think it's a very polite spirit.
It's very polite. And everybody's not just losing their minds. I mean, the person who wrote this in does not say, oh, I always had these horrible feelings every time I went to the basement. He doesn't ever say that. He says, you know, I've done this 100 times. I just go in, lock up, and it's no big deal.
Imagine the guy he works with, how excited he was to hear about this. I know. He was like, yes, jackpot.
Yay.
Best day ever.
I know. It's validation, you know, for people like us when it happens to somebody that's always been like, yeah, right, rolling their eyes at us, you know. But I think, you know, if we didn't have these other instances of it happening to other people, then I think we could possibly say, you know, it's just one of those weird things that I think you tap into something and you hear it. But this one, A, is in a courthouse, which I think are creepy, and they can have something. There's something there. I felt it in courthouse. I've, you know, like you said, he talks about how these courthouses are, there's such a history to them, and sometimes they've been added on to, and there's these weird rooms, and there's these records, and the records themselves contain, you know, the documentation of lives. And what people, when they got married, and when they had babies, and when they died, and, you know, all the things that are, you know, that say this person lived, it has to have some sort of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
I just feel like it does. And so it's in a courthouse. I'm sure, like, if they actually talked to a lot of the people that work there, they would find even more stories. You know, he's just catching here and there what people are saying. I would bet a lot of people would say, oh, yeah.
Well, and then this guy who wrote the story in, though, he doesn't really care. You know, he's never been interested in it. So, you know, if people have shared stories that went in one ear and out the other, now it's happened to him.
Yeah. And it was weird.
Yeah.
And like he said, it felt very close to him.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that is weird when you hear that voice right there and you turn around. It's like, mm-hmm. Who is that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go to our next story.
Hello, this is Luke from Minnesota. I've called in a couple other times and shared experiences, but I've had just a couple of other possible brushes with the paranormal, and I thought I'd go ahead and share one of those today. This was back in 2005. I was hanging out with a group of friends one night, and somehow the topic had turned to the paranormal. One of my buddies, I'll call him Steve, mentioned that he had a bayonet that he had bought, I think, at like a flea market or consignment store or something. He said that he thought it was somehow cursed or haunted. And I asked him what he meant by that. And he said, I don't know, I just get a bad vibe off the thing. So anyways, a few nights later, we were going to go and hang out at my place. And we were in Steve's car, and he said he had to stop by his house and just pick up a few things. So stop by his house, me, another buddy of ours, and Steve. Steve ran inside while we waited in the car, and he came back outside. When he came back out, he was carrying that bayonet with him, and he handed it to me. He said, hey, this is the bayonet I was telling you about. So he handed it to me. It was in a sheath, and by the hilt, there was a kind of a leather strap. And so he handed it to me through the car window. I brought it into the window. And as I did, it swung down and nailed me right between the legs. And, of course, you know, Steve and my other buddy got a good laugh out of that. And I was like, yeah, you're not kidding. This thing is cursed, you know. I mean, it actually did, though. There actually was enough weight behind it that it kind of hurt. But I blame that on clumsiness and gravity. So anyway, when we got back to my place, we were going to go in and I think play video games or something. And, you know, I got another, Steve, for some reason, insisted on bringing the bayonet in with him. And you know, I kind of took another look at it, and it was, you could tell it was older. I got a little bit of a funny feeling off of it, but I just attributed that to the power of suggestion. So I actually thought it was kind of cool. It was older, something a collector might like. I just looked online, and I think it might have been, from memory, I think it might have been a Korean War era M5 bayonet. I'm not sure about that, but it was definitely older. When it was breaking up and Steve went to leave, he walked downstairs, and I lived in an upstairs apartment. He walked downstairs, and I kind of called, "Hey, don't forget your bayonet." Steve was like, "Well, I'm already down the steps. So I'll get it another time." And I'm like, "Well, really? Do you want me to run down?" He's like, "No, just I'll get it another time." You know, I kind of knew what he was doing, and I was like, "You wimp! You're gonna make me hold on to it because you're afraid of this thing." So he left, and I put it on a shelf, and didn't really think much else of it. To be honest, I didn't think there was really anything to it. I thought he was just being maybe a little overzealous of wanting to think there was something paranormal or whatever. So he left, and he would come by every so often. You know, we hung out fairly often, and every time I would try and get him to take this bayonet back, and he always kind of refused. He always had some excuse not to. Anyway, a few months later, I was renting an apartment for the apartment I lived in. I was renting for my sister, who was the upstairs of her house. She put her house on the market, so I had to move. So I found another place and was going to move, boxed up all my stuff, and I recruited another buddy of mine, I'll call him Mike, recruited him to come and help me move, and offered him a case of beer, so he agreed to come help me move. And when he came and we were getting at the stuff, he asked me, "So are you going to miss this place?" And I said, "Well, to be honest with you, I've always been a little creeped out by the bedroom here. For that reason, I'm kind of glad to be moving. Never was comfortable in my bedroom for some reason. I had a hard time getting a good night's sleep. I just felt like someone was watching me." Anyway, we were up there, we were working, and we were moving stuff out, and he passed by a box, and this was the box that the bayonet was in. And I boxed that up too because I'd become kind of the adoptive owner of it unwittingly. And he stopped, and he's like, "Hey," he's like, "I think I know why you were creeped out in this place." I'm like, "Why is that?" He's like, "I think it was that thing." And he pointed to the bayonet that was in the box, and he kind of kicked the box away like he seriously didn't like the thing. And I asked him, like, "Well, what do you mean?" And he said, "I don't know. That thing is creeping me out, that knife that's in there. He's like, I don't like that thing." One thing to realize is Mike and Steve did not know each other. Mike was a friend of mine from work. He and Steve, they never met, they never talked, so this was not the power suggestion or anything. He just got a bad vibe off that bayonet to the point where it was like, I kind of was teasing him with it, like, "Oh, really? You like?" He wouldn't touch it. I tried to get him to take it in his car because, you know, I had a truck and we were loading up all the heavy things into my truck, but throwing some boxes into his car. And he was like, no, he did not want it in his car. He wouldn't drive with it. I tried to put it in his car and he got like mad at me. He didn't appreciate my joking around with it even. So I moved and brought the bayonet with me. But the next time I saw Steve, I forced him to take it back. And I was like, I wasn't taking any chances because Mike, who wouldn't know or anything like that, getting a bad vibe off of that thing was a little too much for me. A little too much coincidence. So, yeah, that's the story. A postscript to that, I was just at a Halloween party at Steve and his now wife's house, and I asked him if he still has that bayonet, and he does. He says it's in his garage, and it's underneath a few boxes and buried in some stuff, so I don't know if he thinks that'll kind of keep the bad energy out or whatever, but that's the story, and really enjoy the show. Thank you. Bye.
Do you think it was a haunted bayonet?
Well,
it's kind of hard to tell.
It's kind of hard to tell because Luke, who seemed to just, you know, by default, house the thing for Steve for quite a while, said he didn't act like anything happened to him. He put it up on the shelf and that was that. Now, Mike comes along to help him move and he was creeped out by it. And Steve was creeped out by it, but not enough to get rid of it.
That's the
he
thing.
He took it home and put it in the garage.
And doesn't act like, oh, yeah, that thing is creepy AF. Right. He's just like, yeah, it's in the garage.
Yeah.
But it is strange that the guy brings it over and he's like, this is a haunted bayonet. And then the other guy does say, that's your problem, is that whatever's in that.
He did say that he had creepy feeling in the bedroom. Now, is it the bayonet? Or was there something creepy in the house? You know, did it just start when the bayonet came in? Can we make that link between them?
Yeah.
Or had he always been a little creeped out there?
And none of that is really explained.
Yeah. I had the feeling that he'd always been creeped out in the bedroom. That wasn't necessarily new. So I'm not necessarily feeling that Luke had any sort of experiences because of the bayonet.
And why did the original guy, Steve, I think was his
name. Which is weird.
Why did he even think it was a haunted bayonet? That's not fully explained.
He never really says that whether it was just a bad vibe, a bad feeling, you know, whatever was about it. And, you know, there was the weird incident that he dropped it on himself, Luke.
But shit happens.
That could just be like he said, you just dropped it. It wasn't like that's a haunting or something. It is weird that Mike went, oh, I don't like that thing. But you could just say, I'm just, you know, it could be, I just am creeped out by weapons and that bothers me. Like, you've always been very... had a knife phobia, right? So if someone shows up with a big ass bayonet, how would you feel?
I'd be like, you ain't leaving that damn haunted bayonet at my house.
You would immediately.
You take that bayonet, you know, home.
Right? And okay, so here's the thing. I always thought that maybe you're, because you have sort of a, it's a very aggressive response to knives. And I always felt like, did something happen to you in another life with a knife that's why you have this, that it's carried over? So Mike comes in. Is it similar with Mike? That something happened to Mike in a previous life and now he sees and has a reaction to a bayonet.
And I think that it is coincidental that this guy says it's haunted. This guy's freaked out by it. But is it haunted? Or is it? I don't know.
Okay. Here's the one thing that makes me go, no. And it's because Steve still has it.
Yeah.
I think if it was so unnerving to Steve that he was taking it to somebody else's house and purposely leaving it there, why would he still have it?
I think he's kind of forgotten about it.
There are things in my past that creeped me out that I found a way to get rid of. It was like, I'm no way is this, you know, hanging out with me.
Yeah, take it to a gun and knife show. Have somebody buy it off you.
Right.
Then it's their problem, you know?
The reason I'm a little skeptical is because Steve still has it. I think maybe he had something going on in the house that creeped him out in the bedroom. I've known more about that story.
Yeah.
I'm wondering. I feel like there was something there because he mentions that the new place and he took the bayonet with him.
Yeah.
They moved it.
And it could be a haunted bayonet. It could be like the stories are creepy and make it feel like a haunted bayonet. You know, like
it could just carry this energy of things that happened with it. Perhaps, and then you just put off. Is it cursed? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. That is a mystery to me. We'll never, ever know. So if you have a real ghost story, we would love it if you would share it with us. Leave us a voicemail at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want, you could become a premium subscriber. Advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery. But we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.